This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Here it is, Thursday, the 5th of January. We're in the new year. Mitchell Mote is with us. And if you're making New Year's resolutions to make your yard look better, you've come to the right place. Mitchell, how you doing?
Bart, I'm doing really good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You brought a friend with you.
I did. And Janie, this is Janie Becker. Janie's she's visited with us a time or two before, and she's going to sit in with us this morning also. There may be an occasion in the future that Janie will be a guest on the Action Line during the Lawn and Garden segment. So she's just coming to watch.
Sounds good.
To add, I'm certain she'll be able to add some things to
watching a master. So yeah.
Well, Bart's the master of it.
No, Mitchell is.
I tell you, Bart, you said it's the 5th day of January. Gosh, where's this year going? It's speeding by. Yeah.
And right now, it's cold outside. What can people be doing with their lawns and gardens? Is there anything? Before we know it, it'll be spring.
Oh, it will. And thank goodness it will. It doesn't take a lot of cold weather for me to get my dose in for the year. But just before we came on the air, I've looked over at your TV monitor, and it had a forecast up. And tomorrow, the forecast high, I think, is 62 or 63. Today,
that's okay.
You're looking at the high 50s.
But so it's 24 though.
It's 24 right now. So you got some big swings between your daily high and your daily low. But the ground's not going to be frozen at 50 degrees.
No. Huh.
And that means that you've got a lot of options, a lot of opportunity to plant some woody ornamentals out there, because trees, ornamental shrubs, for the majority of those, this is a pretty good time of year to do it. One thing is the plant's not growing, at least not doing any above ground growth, but it can still develop some root system after you put it in the ground, before it kicks into the flush of growth in the spring of the year when things start coming out of dormancy. And the roots are the key to any kind of long-term success on these plants. The better the root system is established, the more complete that it is, before the plant becomes stressed by environmental conditions, the better able it is to handle those things. And plus, we have just more adequate natural moisture in the ground now. You don't have to be as concerned about applying supplemental irrigation during this time of the year. So it's a pretty good time of year to do that.
Now, how long is this window going to be open? Because a lot of people wait until the very last minute. So is there an end date for when they should stop planting?
In all honesty, you can plant any time the ground's not frozen or it's just not so doggone hot you can't stand it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but though, when you move into those warmer temperatures and you start getting hot outside and the rainfall is not as frequent, then you've got to be prepared to take a little more care of this plant. Apply the moisture when it's needed. Don't let it hurt for a drink of water. If you're just the least little bit lazy, fall and winter is a time to do it versus spring and summer, because you don't have to work as hard after you put it in the ground. So for me, that's the time.
It's also good to think about what a plant's got to support itself.
Absolutely.
So in the fall and the winter and very early spring, it doesn't have all those leaves on it yet that it has to keep the supply moisture to. So you're really saving yourself a lot of trouble if you put it in, for especially deciduous plants, shrubs and trees, if you do it while the leaves are off.
Janie, I'd never thought about that before. The tree, the plant, actually works harder then, and that makes sense,
right?
If it has leaves.
And you're going to work harder trying to help it out.
Absolutely, because it takes more water to keep a full canopy tree supplied than it does, a bare tree that's already shed its leaves. So,
Now, while we're talking about trees, is it too late to do serious pruning? Because when Janie mentioned the leaves were gone, I'm thinking that's also a good time to see what the structure of that tree is.
Well, you're right. It's not too late. You're in prime time.
There's some research that shows early pruning for certain species, for certain types of trees and shrubs, can stress the plant more. So some of your late fall pruning can be more stressful to the plant than in the late winter, early spring, because it's got to heal that wound as it's going dormant.
So you're saying now is better than even
now or in the next couple months? Even I do a lot of my pruning in late February, early March.
Now, there are certain ways to prune, and I know you have some brochures at the Ag Center on that, especially the fruit trees. Don't they have special requirements as far as being pruned so that they get more sunshine into the
peaches, you want to prune them to an open shape, and apple trees, kind of a central leader. It's just, you know, the shape and how you let the sunlight, the way you leave branches arranged so on to allow sunlight to reach the interior of the plant is probably the biggest thing on those peach, on the fruit trees in general, is just because they've got to have get adequate sunlight so on to make fruit.
And, of course, with the fact that they don't have leaves on them right now, you can actually prune them so the structure will allow that.
Fruit trees, you normally think about pruning, like Jane was saying, at the tail end of February, the early part of March, just as they're starting to come out of dormancy maybe and get into that new growth. Would it be bad to prune them now? Would you hurt the tree? No, probably not. You're not going to.
But I prune late winter. I also prune whenever I get the notion to. But sometimes when I've got pruners handy, sometimes that's the best time to prune.
Well, you know, that's
exactly.
I'm doing
a large scale chopping.
A landscape design instructor in a class once that I attended, he said that very thing. That, you know, when is the best time to prune? Well, some smart aleck said 2:00. And, well, 2:00 is probably not a bad time because you've had adequate time for your lunch to digest some and maybe get over your after lunch nap. But his answer was, any time you've got the pruner in your hand and you see something needs pruning, you can prune it. And odds are you're not going to kill the plant. I mean, now, there's one pruning cut you can make that will generally kill the plant, and that's where you make that one like 2 inches above the ground.
that's a rough one.
Yeah, that's pretty tough to come back from that one. But so some plants, that may be the best thing to do. Folks that are members of the Bradford Pear Eradication Society think that's the best cut to make.
Well, now, is there a, speaking of Bradford Pears, because they are pretty trees. I've never had one, but I'm not going to plant one because I hear so much negatives about them. But they are pretty. They have a nice shape. Yep. They really look good in early spring. I've had people say they really smell bad, but in early spring I haven't noticed it. And since I've never had one, I haven't had that problem of smelling them.
They do have an odor when they're in full bloom.
Do they? Is it bad?
Some people are more sensitive to it.
Yeah, is it bad? Gosh, some people think that milk chocolate tastes bad. So I guess it's, you know, if anything's good if you like it.
The nose of the beholder.
If you like the smell, it's good. If you don't, it's not. But yeah.
So what is the most popular tree? And the reason I'm asking that, if it is the most popular tree, it must do two or three things. It must be easy to grow in this area, must be probably fairly easy to maintain, and otherwise, why would it be the most popular tree in the area? Nobody's a glutton for punishment, I wouldn't think.
Well, trees have a lot of different merits, so if you're looking for a flowering tree, that's going to have a lot of different characteristics than if you're looking for a long-lived shade tree that's going to, you know, be around and grow 60 feet tall. And that's, so I hesitate to say what the most popular one is. Everyone has things they like and don't like. You know, some people have issues with the fruits of sycamores or sweet gums. Some people love the way they look.
For a big spreading shade tree, you can't beat it.
Right. What about a long-living, tall, big spreading shade tree that smells good and will get to its full height within 6 months to a year?
Bart, Fantasy Island was canceled a long time ago.
I was going to say, you might take a nap and see if you can conjure that one up.
As far as the most popular tree, I don't know that there is one, but I would say my estimation would be that maples.
Maples.
The sugars, the red maples, you know, so many nice cultivars of sugar maple or red maples available today. There are an awful lot of maple trees planted, but there are lots of others planted too, but I don't know. Maybe that might be the most.
They're relatively fast growing as far as a long lived large shade tree. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait a decade, 15 years for them to get some height.
They come on pretty fast.
Red maples more than sugar maples. Sugar maples are generally a little slower. And you'll get the cultivars for the really brilliant fall colors have come a long way in red maples especially. So
you've got your your summertime shade, your fall color. So, yeah, maples are very popular. Mm-hmm.
So right now, if you're new to the area and you just moved here, you have a new home that doesn't have a whole lot of trees because a new home is usually pretty barren of trees, and you don't know what to plant, maples are a good way to go.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a question that we get fairly frequently is, I've moved here from somewhere out of state, and so I'm really not familiar with what grows here. Well, you know, the odds are very good that if a garden center is selling plants, I mean, their goal is stay in business and probably repeat business. So the things that they have for sale generally will grow here if you'll just take some care and put them out in a fairly decent location, the one that's going to receive, you know, enough sunlight, et cetera, and you can supply it with water and whatnot as need be, generally they will tend to grow. So if they're being sold, I mean, they're not going to sell things that are apt to die, you know. So that's kind of a rule to keep in mind is that if it's offered for sale locally, then generally it's something that will grow here.
You know, I've been amazed, really, at your description on how to plant these trees, too. Because I always thought it was good to, since we had such clay, rocky soil, to mix in moss and things like that to better mix in some better dirt with these. But you're saying don't. You're saying use strictly the dirt that you took out of the hole, put it back. Yes, it is clay. It is rocky. But that's what you need to put back.
Well, if you're just planting a tree out here in the lawn, okay, a single tree out there, and you expect, let's say, you're going to plant a little red maple tree, and you have visions in your head of this tree getting somewhere 40 feet tall, 50 feet tall, and a nice spreading characteristic to its habit. You know, its limbs reach out here, and it's going to spread out 30-odd feet or so. So how far are the roots going to spread? Well, they're going to spread, you know, as far as the limbs do anyway, and generally they're going to spread further if given the opportunity to, if they have an area where they can do that. So what you put in that little hole is not going to be the habit that tree lives in, or the habitat that those roots are, the majority of the roots are going to be in for most of their life. When you have a high clay content soil and you put a hole in that soil to put a plant in, and then if you come in and highly modify the field dirt or the field soil with a lot of organic matter, you've got a real big difference in texture between the field dirt and then the native soil over here on the edge of this hole. And you can create conditions where water is going to be held at that junction because of difference in particle size. You have different surface tension there. And basically you can make a bowl where the water is not going to drain out. And you can cause root problems, you know, root rot problems. And plus, even if the tree doesn't, if you don't develop root rot issues and so on, it's a nice soft place, you know. It's like on a warm bed on a cold morning. Do you want to roll out and go out into the world, get up out of that warm bed? Well, if it's a nice soft place to grow, you know, those roots tend to want to not go out into the world, if you will, or push out into that native ground where they need to. And then you can cause some, you know, some root issues there, poor growth and so on. So if you're just putting a plant out here, a tree out in the landscape, yeah, you need to do that. Now, if you have a great big bed where you can modify that entire bed environment, you're going to put small trees in there, well, that's a different story because then you can modify the entire growing environment. But it's not feasible to think that you can modify the growing environment for, you know, a willow oak tree that's going to get 80 feet tall or 70 feet tall and live there for the next 100 years or so. You just physically can't do it. It's just too much space there to try to do. It needs to grow in the native soil because that's where it's going to spend its life.
Now, do you have brochures that will show how far away from the house you need to plant these trees?
We have two publications available. They're both available online, and you can get them from our website. And one is Planting Woody Ornamentals, Best Management Practices for Planting Woody Ornamentals, and the other is Best Management Practices for Pruning Woody Ornamentals. They're excellent publications. They've been recently updated. Gosh, if you want some good step-by-step directions on how to do some things, make some pruning cuts, where to prune, the different styles of pruning, be it renewal pruning or just annual pruning to maintain growth or to keep a plant size in a specific space and so on, they're just excellent publications for that. They cover that kind of thing.
Now, this area, for people who are new to the area, they probably don't realize it, but it was once called the Cedar Capital. Because we had so many cedar trees.
When you were asking the question about the most popular one, I'm thinking cedars would be hard to beat. Just from ease of establishment and growing and whatnot.
I see all sorts of cedars. I see some little short ones that look like Christmas trees. And then I see some that I think are cedars that are giant. I mean, 75, 80 feet tall. They don't have all the limbs down on the lower part, they'll go way on up, 20, 30 feet before you start seeing the limbs. Is that because somebody pruned them that way? Or and can you sort of train a tree to do what you wish for it to do?
Sure, in many ways. But some of those cedars that are really getting a really large diameter and are that tall, they've been around an awful long time, and often they have naturally limbed themselves. Mm-hmm. A lot of those trees I see in this area are in fields, pastures, often with goats in this part. And they're excellent pruners for established trees. They will do more than prune if they're too young, but if they're old enough to withstand a little chewing, then they prune them to a goat standing height. So
you could have a cedar tree, and it does not have to be one that goes all the way down to the ground with its limbs.
Right. Well, as naturally, their young form has limbs all the way to the ground. So, it's a fairly nice looking plant that way. So I'd wait till it got a little bit larger before I'd start really pruning on it, because it helps shade the base of it, so it doesn't have as much competition from other weeds. And
it almost looks like a big bush in the early stages.
Right, and it's there's so many different junipers are also cedar is a juniper, so there's a lot of ground cover junipers that you see that look a lot like our native juniper, and there are some of those ground covers that are cultivars of our native juniper. So
how long would it take them to get to be pretty decent sized tree
in good conditions? I've transplanted some just tiny little cedars. I'm saying tiny by 2 or 3 inches. They can be, in 5 years they can be head high, they can be 5-6 feet if they're happy. That's just a wild juniper volunteer that I've moved around. So
and they can grow from then all the way up 50, 60 feet easily? Or
well, it just depends on the conditions, how deep the soil is, how good. Around here we have a lot of variance in how close bedrock is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you've only got a couple inches of topsoil, you're not going to get too big of a tree, no matter how adjusted to the climate it is.
If you just notice, as you drive up down the interstate, all the cedars that are just growing out of the rock there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you noticed them 10 years ago, they're probably about the same size now as they were then.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been a whole lot of change in that. But
Of the rock?
Well, yeah, because there's not much there to grow in.
And
so that tells you, boy, they're really hardy, and they can get by on a little bit. But you go into places, like Janie said, into pasture fields they're now in someone's yard, where you've got some decent ground, and maybe through the course of fertilizing a yard or fertilizing a pasture, they get an extra supply of nutrients, and you're going to see a lot more growth on them. So the location, the site where any plant is growing is certainly going to influence how fast it grows.
Mm-hmm. Our phone number is 893-1450. We're in the segment now where we're going to open up the phone lines. And if you have any lawn or garden questions, give us a call, 893-1450. Janie Becker and Mitchell Motor with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Beach, your song can die on a bitter wind, on a cruel tide, and every one of us has to face that day. Do you cross the bridge or do you fade away? And every one of us that ever came to play has to cross the bridge or fade away.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Year-end closeout sale at Ford of Murfreesboro.
No payments for 90 days.
No payments for 90 days on the 2012 Fiesta, Focus, Fusion, Edge, and Escape.
No payments for 90 days for those who qualify. That's 3 months.
Select your Ford today at Ford of Murfreesboro, where your car or SUV is waiting for you. Ford of Murfreesboro at 1550 Northwest Broad at Northfield Boulevard. Ford, drive one.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Looking for a new look? Update your gemstones by letting us remount your jewels into a new style. White gold, yellow gold, vintage, modern. Let Bell Jewelers help you design a special piece with your old gemstones, or let our award-winning jeweler, Bob Lanier, custom make a fabulous piece just for you.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots. Family Staffing Solutions.
They have made me feel like I am truly someone to them, and that means a lot.
Stay independent at home, in charge.
I've never seen anything in my life that has been more outstanding than this company.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Play it again, sports!
25 to 50% off. A new shipment of scratch and dent fitness equipment is in at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane. Exercise bikes, ellipticals, treadmills, and more. 25 to 50% off. Save now before the deals are gone.
WGNS Time Saver Traffic.
We've got a bit of congestion this morning at the intersection of Broad at Church. Very busy there, of course. And then we have Mercury Boulevard at Rutherford Boulevard with some congestion. I-24 at Old Fort Parkway. Bit of buildup there. We've also got around Medical Center Boulevard there at Memorial with some backup this morning. Heads Up Hair Salon has 10 national area locations. They've been sensibly priced for over 30 years. Come in for a Brazilian blowout or catch the latest trend with feather extensions. Call or check out headsuphaircuttingsalon.com to schedule your next visit. With traffic, I'm Randy O'Brien for WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? Brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
For this afternoon, we'll see sunny skies with a light southwest wind as our highs near 55. Tonight, skies will be clear with southwest winds as our lows fall back to 35. I'm WGNS meteorologist Greg Tatrow. Right now, it's 28.
This is Freda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Good Neighbor Talk focuses totally on the issues that impact the heart of Tennessee.
Oh, yeah?
This is your radio station, WGNS Murfreesboro.
Welcome back.
I think about the years I spent just passing through. I'd like to have the time I lost and give it back to you.
We're talking about lawns and gardens this morning. We're talking about planting trees. Now is a great time to plant trees and shrubs. We're talking about pruning. This is an equally good time to prune, as Janie had said. As long as you have a pruning shear in your hand, that's a good time to prune. 893-1450. That's our number, 893-1450. Mitchell Moat and Janie Becker, the dual team with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And if you have any lawn or garden questions, call us. Maybe you've planted a maple tree a few years ago and it's doing well for you. Call and share that, because there are some people listening who would like to hear that. And maybe you planted a cedar tree or something. I'd like to hear from you, too. Is pine in that same category, or do pine trees do well around here? Are there negatives about pines? I know the cedar, sometimes people say cedar apple rust. Is that pretty true? If you have an apple tree nearby, you don't want a cedar tree?
Yeah, so especially those apple trees that are real susceptible to cedar apple rust.
So the apple tree gets the damage.
Apple tree suffers. The cedar tree has a disease, but it's not really detrimental to it. It's kind of an intermediate host in the life cycle. Pine trees, boy, Jane, there are a lot of pine trees.
There really are. They're not all created equal.
No, that's a great way to say it. They're not all created equal. Unfortunately, the real pretty ones tend to be the shortest lived, I guess.
Right.
The ones that are truly adapted to, and that you can expect to live, you know, their full life expectancy, whatever that is, tend to be the great big tall ones that are sparsely needled and mm-hmm. have thin branches mm-hmm. and so on that make excellent, you know, light poles and timbers and whatnot. But
is that what is over on Mercury Boulevard as it goes around that curve to right before it becomes John Bragg Highway? There's a hole, if you're going out of town toward Woodbury, mainly on the right hand side.
I want to say those are white pines.
Okay, you've seen.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little bit fine. The most common around here that we see planted is loblolly. It's really quickly growing. It's got a long needle. But it does, like Mitchell says, as it gets older and it grows quickly, the limbs start to get kind of sparse and. Mm-hmm. It delimbs itself naturally.
Self-pruner,
right. So
those are, what, 100 feet tall?
They're big. They can get really tall. That's what a lot of our pine lumber is made of, because mm-hmm. it grows so straight, so
white
fast.
Pine.
Loblolly pine.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I think you're talking about is white pine, and it's a more attractive.
It's more of an ornamental tree. Pretty tree. Got long, soft needles on it.
Uh-huh.
And, it's called a white pine because if you look at the needles, it's got just a little faint white streak in each needle.
Yeah.
And those needles come in bundles. They're attached to the limb in bundles, and they're in five, groups of five. The needles are always in groups of five. But now those, you know, you can plant those, and boy, you have a white pine, it does great for 10 or 15 years, and you walk out the next morning, and gosh, that thing's dying.
Mm-hmm. And it's probably already dead.
No apparent reason.
Wow. But you think the one on Mercury is a loblolly?
No, I think what you're talking about is a row of white pines.
Yeah, and I think those
they're
are
more
pretty.
Ornamental. Mm-hmm. And they're used a lot here. They're used mm-hmm. a lot. But you certainly don't count on them. That's not something you want to count on passing down to the grandchild.
Right.
They don't last long or what?
Well,
they're not as reliable.
They're not as reliable, though. Those are the ones that will be, you can have one, like I said, it's 20 years old, it looks great, and you walk out tomorrow morning and you notice that a big part of this thing is dead. Well, in reality, probably all of it's dead, and there's not really a good explanation as to why it died.
It sounds like that's a tree to stay away from. Unless you,
understand what the limitations are. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Don't let that be your retirement investment.
Okay.
They're great for quick screen. They're great for an evergreen color in your yard. There's many reasons to plant them. Something that's quick growing like that and fairly sturdy as far as wind and
they are attractive
and ice damage. I don't know why I said the ice damage because that's one of not their strong suit, but they got a lot of value in the landscape. But I wouldn't just get too upset if you lost one after several years.
So if you were trying to make that the theme of your landscaping, that's not the way to go.
I'd have a backup plan.
Yeah.
Oh, what are some of the other pine trees?
Virginia pine,
a little shorter needle pine, a little stiffer needle. It tends to be hardier, mm-hmm. more.
It
dependable.
Grows well here.
Yeah.
It's not. It depends on what your version of attractive mm-hmm. is. It's a more
sure,
natural look.
Exactly.
It's not as dense.
Now, why would you want pine versus cedar? Or would you? Are they both equal as far as livability in this area?
The ones we've mentioned are... Cedar's not likely to just up and die on you. The pines we've mentioned are going to probably establish well here.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like Mitchell said, they have their problems too.
And again, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but just speaking in terms of generalities, the pines are probably thought to be a more attractive plant in a landscape setting than the cedar is in many people's eye.
Mm-hmm.
So
often because they're not as common, and
yeah,
you start to to value what you see all the time every day. So
One of the things you mentioned about cedars, noticing how that you'll see them where they're limbed up and they've got a lot of open space between the lowest limb and the ground. Well, if you look at a mature cedar, you stand at the base of the tree and you look up into it, you know, the green is all out here on the ends.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of brown up in the interior of that plant because it does. It shades itself out. You see a lot of limbs die in there. And some of those pines and whatnot, you'll see a denser canopy, so it's a thicker look and so on, too.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, let me ask you this, too. And since we're talking about this being a great time to plant trees and shrubs and sort of do your landscaping, I have always tried to stay away from evergreens because I've had the feeling, and this may be totally wrong, that they are the ones that attract these little cocoons, the
bagworms.
Yeah, the bagworms.
You're right that they do attract those.
So it's been good that I've stayed away from them. I haven't had to deal with picking bagworms or anything like that.
It's not good if you wanted them.
If you wanted the bagworms?
No, if you wanted the evergreens, the needle evergreens, because then you've done without them. Bagworms prefer the needle leaf trees or the scale leaf trees, like, you know, cedar. The junipers are scale leaf.
But you could have a holly or something like that and have a similar look without the bagworms, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can have or a magnolia.
Ooh, that would be nice.
But now I've also seen bagworms on
arborvitae.
Crabapple.
Oh, you have?
Okay. I've seen them on crabapple. And have, to the point that they had on a small crab apple, pretty well defoliated the thing. You know, folks thought it was dead. But they do like those better.
Mm-hmm. Crab apples are the ones with the chartreuse-looking balls on them?
No, that's an Osage orange.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Crab apples have a bright red fruit.
Yeah.
They're planted ornamentally a lot.
Pretty flower in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Make preserves out of those?
Some people do.
Yeah,
they're like a bitter apple, a tiny bitter apple.
Yeah.
So with enough sugar with them, they're not quite as bitter.
Right.
Probably not.
So the Osage, anything you can do with those other than roll them under cars passing?
They make a good natural fence if that's what you're trying to keep anybody from passing through a fence row.
The tree itself does.
Right.
Yeah.
They have a spike. They have a thorn. Part of their stem that a lot of people don't see. They see the balls that fall into the road and you run over. But
That brings up another thing. People are always wanting ways to keep animals and critters, deer, things of that sort, out of their gardens. Would that be a natural way to do that? Or do they figure out how to get in and around those?
I wouldn't advise that. That's going to compete with your garden. That's a full-size, large tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to start to spread in that area. It's something you'd want in a wilder, like I say, a fence row setting, a woodland setting.
Plus, you know, you'd have to have started 20 years ago for this year's garden to,
right.
to do that. And then, gosh, not only the shade aspect of it, then you've got all the hedge apples, okay, the Osage orange fruit that comes from that. That's probably not a good idea. If you want to keep critters out of the garden, and put a fence up. Build a fence.
Mm-hmm.
A good chick wire or hardware cloth fence is one of the easiest ways to go about it.
Sure is. I noticed a fellow here in town up on Broad Street. He has a relatively small garden, and he took just odds and ends scraps that he collected and found PVC pipe and small diameter metal conduit and just fasteners and whatnot, and he created a full enclosure with mesh, you know, like
prevent
bird
birds
mesh
and everything.
Yeah, he didn't have any problem with cicadas or with birds or anything in his little garden this last summer.
Yeah,
and you know, he didn't have a lot invested in it. And you can do things like that on a small scale. Is it realistic to do that on a great big scale? No. Could it be done on a big scale? Enough money, you can do about anything. Yes.
I saw a guy on Lytle Street who had a large cage, almost probably 6 feet tall, maybe 10 feet wide, maybe 10 by 7 or something, you know, not a huge thing. But in that he had his tomatoes, he had whatever else he was growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, this is on all sides.
Yeah,
top
totally
and side. So he's, I'm guessing, that kept the birds out. It kept
neighborhood dogs.
Dogs, yeah. Squirrels.
And the squirrels, probably. Gosh, squirrels were awful on tomatoes this year in my community.
So if you do that, you're gonna they're not going to figure out how to dig under it or what.
I wouldn't underestimate
it. Yeah, I would say never.
Or a dog, or
but you have gone a long way towards sleeping easier at night, and that's one less thing to worry about.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great thing.
And probably did not cost that much.
Probably not.
Because it's still there now, and you can use it from season to season.
Yeah,
probably. Sort of, I mean, chicken wire, I guess.
You can take, they make bird net, which is lightweight, okay, kind of a nylon mesh material. You can cut it with scissors, you know, and attach it with zip ties or tie it with twine or string or something like that. It's not expensive. Chicken wire would work also. It's fairly flexible and easy to mold and so on. It's probably not as easy to work with just in terms of ease as the bird net, but it would be just as effective for the very same thing. Yeah, there are ways to do it. But again, can you do a half acre's worth of garden? Well, you could, but boy, that'd be a lot of material out there. Is it feasible to do that? Well, for most people, probably not. But, you know, for a small area, absolutely you could.
Some folks use electric fencing around their gardens. That's a little bit of a... If you're going to do a larger area, sometimes electric fencing is the way to go.
To keep, like, bigger things like raccoons out of the corn.
Right.
So you'd have to be pretty low.
You'd have to put it at different levels depending on what you're trying to prevent.
So that's not going to keep birds out, but, you know, probably birds are the least of our worry when it comes to the garden critters.
So if you have a tomato and it has just a little bite or so out of each tomato, just enough to make you not want it, is that the squirrel? That's not a bird.
Well, the birds will do it, and squirrels will. I mean, the squirrel, he'll take the tomato and leave, and he'll carry it off. I mean, this in 2007 when we had such the hot, dry conditions, you know, we had the big drought. There were, I have a lot of cedar trees on my place, and there were tomatoes that were sitting up in the tree where squirrels had picked those things and carried them up in there because they needed a moisture source, and they got it from the tomato. And I kid you not, I saw a squirrel one day. He'd picked a tomato from the garden, and it was so big he would walk a little ways and set it down and rest and pick it up and carry it again. And I just couldn't bring myself. I said, "Buddy, if you're going to work that hard, then that tomato is yours. I'm not going to keep you from it."
Like a cartoon or something.
It was the neatest thing. But now birds will certainly they will certainly make you dislike them at certain times of the year when they get in those tomatoes. As they start to turn a little bit red, and they'll go in there and peck on those. And you know, folks do things, you know, they'll put nets around them. I've heard of some gardeners that would take Christmas ornaments, red Christmas ornaments, and hang those up as
reflectors, ways to kind of startle the birds.
And also, well, okay, there's something red, I'll peck this instead of that. And so as a decoy. As a decoy.
Do all birds do these things? I mean, the reason I'm asking this, because we're getting some pretty big birds in neighborhoods now. You know, we've talked about the hawks that you see regularly in very densely populated neighborhoods. They're just out sitting on the lamppost and things of that sort. And that would be a pretty significant bird to mess up a garden if he chose to do so. And I was talking with a guy the other day, and he has, his hobby is taking pictures of eagles who are nesting now here in Rutherford County. And he has several locations around the county that he goes to and takes pictures of these eagles. And that's an even bigger bird than a hawk. They could take your whole plant away, I guess. Do they eat things like that, or are they strictly looking for animal prey?
Well, hawks are carnivorous. They're not really going to fool with plants, with your tomatoes and so on. The big birds that we have, a lot of people have trouble with around here, the trouble is also that they're smart, are crows.
Yep. Crows are big,
really tough ones in the garden because they can outwit you in a day or two. And
They work in teams.
Too. They do.
They don't work
as
an individual. They have a gang. Mm-hmm. Well, really, they do, and they have lookouts, and they're pretty well organized for a bunch of birds.
They can get used to some of your tricks quickly too, and realize that Mylar tape you've got flashing around is just some Mylar tape, and it's not going to hurt them.
Can't fool a crow.
But I mean, a blackbird could certainly, you know, pick a hole in a tomato, or right. A songbird could
take it away almost, probably. Yeah.
So any bird could, but they're not, you know, there's certain ones I guess you are more concerned about.
We're talking lawns and gardens this morning. Maybe you have seen a large population of crows. They're everywhere. Maybe you've seen some eagles, too. Have you? 893-1450 or hawks, 893-1450. We're getting some pretty unique birds to be watching around here. Stay with us. Much more to come. Like to hear also, have you planted under one of these areas where you have the chicken wire and all that on tops and bottoms and sides? Did that do well for you? Was it last year and you've been through the season and didn't have any problems? Like to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Top on my window, knock on my door. I want to make you feel beautiful.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. Come see us for all those wonderful gift ideas, from our gift department to clothing. We have a hunting section.
We've really upped our selection of ammo and got really good prices on.
That's the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. And also for your furry friends in our pet and bird section. So come visit us at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op. We're located just off of South Church at 985 Middle Tennessee Boulevard. That's the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center.
Most of the people listening to my voice right now know someone who is battling an addiction. Spring to Life is a Christ-centered recovery program right here in Murfreesboro. Our mission is to help people find freedom from addiction and discover how much fun is found in living with Christ. So if you know someone who is suffering from addiction, give us a call at 615-849-3247 or visit our website at springtolife.net. Spring to Life, learning to love living again.
WeatherEye. For this afternoon, we'll see sunny skies with a light southwest wind as our highs near 55. Tonight, skies will be clear with southwest winds as our lows fall back to 35. I'm WGNS meteorologist Greg Tatrow. Right now, it's 28.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. Good Neighbor Talk on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. We're talking lawns and gardens today. Mitchell Mote along with Janie Becker with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And let's go to the phones. Our number's 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I was just wondering if you all had any advice on how to get rid of a woodpecker who's pecking on my house.
All righty. Pesky pecking woodpecker. How would you get rid of that legally?
Legally. Boy, you have to put those disclaimers in there, don't you? You're adding a lot of restraints here. You're hindering us a lot, Mark. How is your house sided? What's the material?
It's brick, but he's going up underneath the soffit, and there's a wood trim up there.
Yes.
And that's what he's pecking at, and he must live nearby because I can see his wife and his little baby woodpecker in the tree waiting for him to finish pecking, I guess, or what he's doing.
That's his job.
He's going to work every day. Everybody's got to work and do something.
That's right.
I mean, why do you think they call them woodpeckers? I mean,
I've tried yelling and making a lot of noise, but then the neighbors come out and look like they don't want to talk to me.
Yeah.
That's not working.
But probably when you make a noise, he'll fly off, but then he comes right back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it the same spot he's going to, or just different spots every time?
No, it's pretty much, well, it's in a corner where the chimney juts out from the house, so he does it on both sides of the chimney. His favorite spot.
Yeah. Is this an area that someone can reach fairly easily? Like if you got on a ladder, you could reach it pretty easily, you think?
Well, yeah, you probably could.
Okay. You know, why is he pecking right there? Well, I don't think he's looking for anything to eat. I don't think that's the reason he's doing that. The reason he's doing it, he's a woodpecker, and that's kind of what they do. But if you were to be able to change that surface a little bit, it's very likely it would deter him from that habit. One way that you could do that would be to maybe temporarily, that's why I was asking about if you could reach it fairly easily, to install some very fine mesh but heavy gauge hardware cloth on those wood areas where he's pecking. That's going to change that surface and make it a less desirable surface for him to carry out that behavior. You know, that's not something that has to be there for a long period of time, maybe just long enough to for him to get out of the habit of coming to that location. But that is certainly a way to do it, and it has been successful for a lot of people. There's a product. Well, it's probably more than one, but the one that comes to mind is I think it's called Tanglefoot. It's a material that it comes in a tube, sort of like caulk does, and it can be applied with a caulking gun. And what it does, it changes it makes for undesirable footing. This fellow's got to stand while he's doing his pecking behavior, and you just apply this like caulk to those areas where he's been, and it changes the texture of the footing and whatnot, and it makes it undesirable for him to be there. And that's used a lot of times on office buildings and other places where pigeons want to roost, to help deter them from roosting there anymore.
So is it clear so you don't see it?
Well, you know, now that's the thing. I'm not sure how it's going to look on our house. I'm not positive that it's going to be invisible. I don't know what kind of appearance it's going to make. It probably wouldn't look any worse than having hardware cloth tacked up there. But either one of those can be successful in stopping that.
Good luck to you on that. Let's
Janie, do you have something you want to add?
Well, there's also another product. There's several of them, like you said, with the slippery stuff. Mm-hmm. Bird spike. It comes in rolls of, and you can make your own out of hardware cloth if you get industrious, but it's pretty much just little bitty pieces of metal spike that come in small thin strips, and you could I think you could attach that to the joint between your siding and your brick.
Where would you get that?
You could find it online. I don't know that.
I'm not saying it carried locally, but you might find it there. I've never really actually
looked
for
it. I'd check the co-op first.
Yeah, try them.
That's something you can leave long term, and you probably wouldn't see it all that much.
Bird spike.
If you searched for it, you'd find some. Okay.
It's kind of like the tire spikes that the police officers use, but just small scale.
We have about a minute left. Let's see if we can't squeeze in one more quick comment. You're on WGNS. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
The woodpecker may be doing her a favor. She needs to check for termites or ants there up under her soffit. If the wood's been damp before, they'll find the bugs before you will.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, so he may be looking for termites and ants that are there. Thank you for calling.
That's a good point. Generally, the reason that woodpeckers are in your pecking around in your trees is they're trying to find some little creature to eat. So it's worth checking out for sure.
So if he keeps going back to the same place, there may be ants or
that might
termites.
Be a spot where moisture is accumulating between those two different surfaces.
Could be.
So
good point. Thank you both for joining us today. This has been fascinating.
Oh, it's been our pleasure, Bart.
Absolutely.
Janie Becker visiting with us, along with Mitchell Moat from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. Stay with us. Much more to come here on WGNS Murfreesboro. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep that smile on your face. And tell your friends about WGNS.